Hendricks.
Well, all I know is that Mr. Hendricks' body was taken to St. Mary Abbott's Hospital.
Yes.
In Kensington, London at 11:45 this morning, and he was certified to be dead on arrival. The cause of his death is not known at the moment and will not be known until the coroner holds his inquest. Which will be next week. Mr. Stickles, who is the road manager for Jimi Hendrix, will be seeing the coroner tomorrow morning. Mr. Dick Cutts, his agent, has already been to the hospital today, and we've talked with the secretary of the hospital and with the police. It's very sad. The man was a great musician and a giant among musicians of our time, you know, in the contemporary field. And I've known him for a great length of time. I toured Europe with him, and I toured America with him. I found him a remarkably nice man to deal with. As Dick Cutts said, all the time he's handled him as a booking agent, he's never had a day's trouble, nor do we. He was a very warm man, and beyond that, rather exotic, or some people might think extrovert exterior, or almost bizarre exterior, the clothes that Jimi Hendrix wore and the way he used to wear his hair. He was a very warm and nice man underneath, with a rather delightful sense of humour. And I liked him tremendously.
The message we got from the press bureau says the cause of his death was drugs.
Well, that may well be. It may well be that he died from an overdose of sleeping tablets. But we can't say that because the coroner hasn't held his inquest yet.
Yeah.
And one cannot pre-judge what the coroner's going to say or what's going to happen. There is a post-mortem.
Yes.
We'll know more whether it's going to be a post-mortem tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Perrin, we're so sorry for you, and we thank you for this telephone call.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Caesar. Hi, I'm Bruce Pilato. And I'm making the tape that you asked for. And it's Saturday, the 18th of September, and right now I'm making this tape on my own equipment, and it's recorded at, let's see here, and I've got the radio newscast. The first one is from ABC and Gregory Jackson, and that has him talking with tremendous pictures and sounds of Foxy Lady with Jimmy at a live concert, tremendously filmed. And it has a tremendous, narration and everything. The second one I didn't get all of. The beginning was cut off, and I didn't get it all. And that's from NBC. And then the final one is CBS, and that's Walter Cronkite. And they have a little bit of Woodstock in the background for that one. And then I got the Isle of Wight album on the Columbia thing. Columbia record. Okay? I had an interview of Jimmy on the Dick Cavett Show, but it was stolen or somehow destroyed. I can't find it now. But I think a friend of mine has the same tape, so I'm going to try to get it. And now the newscast. But before we get into it, the beginning of the first one was just cut off by a slight bit. And the only words that were cut off are, if you are over 30, and then it goes in. If you are over 30, you...
Never heard of Jimi Hendrix, or only dimly, perhaps a loud voice on the car radio. But take it for fact, in just the past 4 years, Jimi Hendrix became one of the best-known, highest-paid artists in recording history. An astonishing performer whose on-stage gyrations could make Elvis Presley look like a PE teacher. And it may well be that the story of Jimi Hendrix is a small picture of the overall explosive power and wealth of rock. The son of a Seattle gardener, James Marshall Hendrix, quit school at 16, but before he was 20, he was touring the country as a backup guitarist for other rock groups. In 1966, a manager discovered him in a Greenwich Village bar, took him to Europe, formed a group, And just 9 months later, Jimi Hendrix returned world famous. At Rock Festival, Hendrix was paid $50,000 for a single performance. His album sold in the millions. He could have been a millionaire. It's not known whether he saved his money, but it is known that today, Jimi Hendrix is dead, an overdose. He was 28. This is Gregory Jackson, ABC News, New York.
Popular young rock singer Jimi Hendrix died today in London, according to a police source, from an overdose of drugs. A friend said Hendrix had taken sleeping pills last night. Hendrix was only 24 years old, but he'd already made 3 records that sold over 1 million copies each, and his harsh voice and throbbing electric guitar were major attractions around the world at the top rock festivals here, including the big one last year at Woodstock, New York. Here he is in the movie Woodstock. That's the way it is. Friday, September 18th, 1970. The acid rock generation died today in London, apparently from an overdose of drugs.
The radio and television stations' reports are concerned. They were taken 1 year ago today on September 18th, 1970.
Engeland, die onder andere aanwezig was op het Isle of Wight Festival.
Well, he came on the last day. And it was what everybody had been waiting for. He tried very hard, but he seemed very angry with himself. He hit the frets on his guitar very hard, as though he was desperate to make it good. But he didn't seem to succeed, and walked round and looked at his amplifiers, but still seemed to fail. He was a great success, but did seem dissatisfied with himself. At the end, he came back and said, we'll show you again. But now he's died.
Okay, what have you done last Saturday night when you heard that he was dead?
Well, we gathered at one of my friend's houses and got all 6 of his LPs and played them in order, from my experience, right through to the track on Woodstock by him, A Purple Haze, and got very drunk. And this, we felt, was a good way to celebrate his death, as he was quoted to say that all he wanted you to do was not mourn for him, but enjoy yourself and do listen to his music and be happy.
Jimi Hendrix was niet tevreden over zijn optreden op het Isle of Wight Festival, zei Tony Katman onder andere. Toen het optreden afgelopen was, ging hij naar de microfoon toe en zei van, we zullen het nog eens een keer laten zien en dan beter. En nou is hij gestorven.
So it's extremely unfortunate. He was a fine musician and a very nice fellow. I don't know exactly how he died, and I don't know if he used that much drugs. I'm not the one to say, you know, but as far as drugs in general, away from Jimi Hendrix, I don't advocate drugs at all. If you're sick, you take drugs. If you're sick in the head, then you take a drug that a psychiatrist shows you to take to help you. But otherwise, you're just gambling each time you trip. It's just, you know.
Not long.
Again, if someone wants to do it, I'm not going to say, you know, boy, you're bad because you're doing it. It's, you know, each to his own, but I wouldn't go around saying, yeah, everybody use drugs. I don't believe in that.
Mas, a zanger van Blood, Sweat and Tears, and vriend van Jimi Hendrix.
Friend of mine, and that's exactly what I was referring to.
What do you think of it?
What I think of it, I think it's tragic.
Do you think that this is a very great example for the young people of the world?
If somebody's death, especially a close friend, should be an example to anybody, I don't even want to talk about it.
What does Jimi Hendrix mean to you?
He means a very close friend. Somebody I had a lot of good times with.
We're all saddened to learn of Jimmy's sudden death on Friday, and here's Colin Gibbs' feelings of the word for it.
funeral orator for an entire movement. Not all that long ago, Brian Jones died. Then Josh White, who, although he lived in a different area, was still a very influential man. And now, very suddenly, as far as I'm concerned, Jimi Hendrix. I suppose one expected Jimmy to die, and one felt that it wouldn't be that much of a shock. In fact, it was an enormous shock. I was amazed when I recovered at all how much of a shock it was. And then I thought about Jimmy, and the last time I saw Jimmy, which was in Germany a couple of weeks ago, when he was a tired man, a very sad man. No question of premonitions, just that he was a tired and sad man. And he was saying that he wanted to get back to the time when just two or three bands flew together on one bill, because he was tired of all the noise and all the lots and lots and lots and lots of people that were around, somehow too many for music. I don't know why, but it felt that way. And then I got a phone call to say that he was dead, and I felt that I seemed a genius who'd gone very, very quickly somehow, and a man who'd meant an enormous amount to a great many people, and a man who was not able to control himself or his music in a way which would always make him palatable, but who could do it in a way which made him a safety valve for millions of people who really felt the need to shout the way Hendrix shouted and to feel the way Hendrix felt. He was, for me, one of the great folk players, in that he took the attitude that what he did was more important than what he was. And the people like that are very, very rare. And I don't know how long I should be sad. He said he didn't want a big funeral and all that stuff. He's very cynical about things from that point of view. He's right. He's not going to be sad. But I'm very, very sad indeed. And I don't suppose that I shall see any other single man in the next 15 or 20 years who will have meant as much to an area of pop music as Hendrix did. Hendrix felt like part of the British scene. And this is, I suppose, why one feels a little more strongly about it. One of the last interviews given by Jimi Hendrix was for Seaman Moses in Boston. Keith, how did you find Jimi Hendrix the man as opposed to the wild public image?
Well, I think there was a strange confusion and contradiction in people's minds between the publicity that Jimmy had and the man himself. He was purported to be a wild, freaky, psychedelic character, and yet most reporters would testify to the fact that when they went to meet the man himself, he was a very charming, gentle, and quiet, spoken person. It sounds something of a cliche to say something about people, perhaps. He was shy and he was an introverted character. He was a very human person. He wasn't really at all like the publicity that was put out on him. He said to me once that, in fact, the anger and the aggression and the hostility which came over through his stage act was, in fact, his way of releasing these things that were in himself. And he felt that the best way to get rid of this side of his character, which I suppose we all have, was to do it on stage where it didn't hurt anybody. And it got it out of his system.
You did go with Jimmy to America, didn't you, on the tour?
Yes, I went with Jimmy to the Monterey Festival, which was my first trip ever to America, and something I very much enjoyed, and I have a very vivid memory of Jimmy's performance at the Monterey Festival. He performed an incredible set, much to the amazement of everybody who'd come to see the festival, because he was an unknown quantity at that time. And the Who, who were at that time just reaching the zenith of the popularity of their happy following. And I remember Pete Townsend being particularly worried after the after Jimmy's performance and just how he could follow him, in fact, because he was so good.
When you spoke to Jimmy, was he looking forward with any anticipation for the future?
Well, I think he was, yes. When I spoke to him at his hotel, we were sitting on the house drinking wine, and Jimmy had been watching the Kenny Abbott TV show and laughing and joking about it, enjoying it. And he was talking in quite optimistic terms about what he was going to do next.
What will you remember about Jimi Hendrix most?
I suppose from the legacy that he's left us, his music, naturally, he contributed an enormous amount to progressive pop music, as it's known now. He was, in a sense, the inventor of psychedelic music. But the man himself, I suppose one remembers silly things, little things that endear one to people like Jimmy.
Thank you very much. And here's just a few words from that last interview Keith recorded. Jimi Hendrix commenting on his last major British performance at the Isle of Wight Festival.
The Isle of Wight was great. You know, people have known about digging each other, especially what would be the Isle of Wight, about familiar mixtures of different countries, you know. And the only stage you're going to get from this festival is from the, not from the people themselves, but from the other people that can't understand the idea of mixing so many different people together, you know. And the name of music, peace and love.
Musician Jimi Hendrix died in a London hospital, apparently from an overdose of drugs. He was just 24. A close friend said Hendrix spent last night at his girlfriend's home in Notting Hill, where he took some sleeping tablets. He found him in a coma this morning and called an ambulance, but he died about an hour later. Hendrix was famous as a singer and guitarist. He played with several different groups and first appeared in the British pop chart in 1967. Came over here for the Isle of Wight Festival last month. Before that, he played at the Woodstock Festival a year ago. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones said tonight, "We're all stunned. Jimmy was a great personal friend and a great musician."